Hey guys, welcome to my daily teaching video. It's Graham here. It's great to have you here. Hey, in today's video, I'm going to continue talking about hearing from God. And I want to talk today about prophets, Old Testament prophets, New Testament prophets. What is the difference between the two? What role should or should not prophets play in our Christian life, in the life of the church? Good. Hey, we're going to jump into that in a moment. But before we do that, let me give you a few quick housekeeping things. Number one, if you're new to my YouTube channel, why not hit the subscribe button there, give the bell symbol a long press, give this video a thumbs up and drop me a comment. And lastly, do check out all of the links below. This week, I have a free PDF with Dodie Osteen's healing scriptures, 40 healing scriptures that I'd be sending out to all of my friends. So if you'd like that, we'd love to give you that completely free. It's a great resource. You'll find the link and many other great things there below as well. Good. So let's talk about prophets and prophecy. You know, this is it's a great subject, a fun subject, but one about which there is a fair amount of confusion, I would say, in the body of Christ. And I don't think there needs to be such confusion, but I do think it's good that we learn to think through these things and also learn to separate the meat from the bones, as it were. So, number one, what is a prophet? Let's start there. A prophet's somebody who hears from God. A prophet's somebody, I think there is a particular aspect of prophet and prophecy that is spoken as well. It's not necessarily so. You know, in the Old Testament, there would be, and again, there's always a distinction. I keep making this point through this video today, at least, of creating so many rational Western boxes and categories. And this is in this box, and this is in this box. Where I think sometimes in biblical thinking, actually in Jewish thinking, in kingdom thinking, there's more of a continuum with these things. But sometimes for illustrative purposes, let's stick with the boxes. So in the Old Testament, you'd see words like a prophet or also words like a seer, S-E-E-R, a seer, somebody who would see in the spirit. And again, I think we can hear in the spirit and feel in the spirit and smell in the spirit and taste in the spirit. But as a general definition, a prophet's somebody who would hear from God and speak from God and bring a word and bring a message to God's people or not God's people from the Lord. So are there still prophets today? You know, on the whole, when we talk about prophets and prophecy, we could really outline, I like to look at it in five different ways. Number one, there are the prophecies of Scripture. Okay, I'll go through these and then come back and make a quick comment. Number one, there's prophecy of Scripture. Number two, there are prophets in the Bible but their prophecies don't make up the canon of Scripture. So there are legitimate prophets or prophecy in the Bible, but it's not something that is part of the what we call the canon, the collection, if you will, of Scripture that you and I need to adhere to and take notice to. Number three, there is I'll call it the office of a prophet, Old Testament and New Testament. Again, we're going to talk about that in a moment. Number four, there's a gift of prophecy. And number five, I like to talk about the prophetic, just the fact that we generally are a prophetic people. And real quick, let me rewind and go over those. Number one, there's, in a way, the highest order level when we talk about prophets and prophecy is the prophecy of Scripture. So when we're reading Isaiah or Jeremiah or Malachi or all of those chaps, literally that's the highest level of prophecy. And that is, you know, the Bible says we don't get to test Scripture. Scripture tests us. Scripture comes pre-tested. It's delivered. It's seven times purified. So in a way, when God inspired prophets, and now we're talking about Old Testament prophets, to speak, and that they are, that their words, if you will, literally become Scripture, become the text of Scripture, God's written word to humanity from all time. That is a different thing than somebody standing up in a local church, as happened in my church yesterday, and somebody saying, God is saying this, and God is saying that, and God is saying this to my people. You know, what happens in, let's say, yesterday in my church, I think two or three people prophesied. That's good. It's a now word of God to the gathered people, or possibly those even watching online. No, I don't think we had that online yesterday. But it's not something. So just because my friend Bert prophesied in my church yesterday, it doesn't mean that I have to write that down and add a 67th book to the Bible. So there's a difference between Bible prophecy and, I don't want to call it everyday prophecy, but the here and now ministry of a prophet in that sense. So Scripture is Scripture, and it cannot be broken. It's part of the infallible Word of God, and it will come to pass whether you like it or not, and that's in its own category. Second, there's the office of a prophet, and I would say the office of a prophet's different than the gift of prophecy. So what is the office of a prophet, both Old Testament and New Testament? Let's talk about the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God will call men and women. Get over it. Some of my brethren who don't like women in ministry, you may not like women in ministry, but God seems to like women in ministry. So God would call people like Deborah. So I always hear that with a Rhino Bonnke accent, because I heard a sermon by Bonnke years ago on that. But God would call people like Deborah, like Barak, like Moses, like Abraham, like Isaiah, like Jeremiah, like Samuel, whatever, and called them to be prophets. Now, again, Old Testament, let's put it in context. The Old Testament prophet's different than a New Testament prophet. Why? Well, number one, in the Old Testament, nobody had a relationship with God. That's not exactly true. Let me put it this way. In the Old Testament, the only people who had a relationship with God were Israel. But they had a national relationship with God, not a personal relationship with God. In one sense, actually, you could say Abraham had a personal relationship with God, and then he grandfathered all of his children in the seed of Abraham, which is what Israel is. So, but from a practical level, people were dead spiritually. They were dead in trespasses and sins. They didn't have a relationship with God. So there were three groups of people in the Old Testament who were anointed to be God's ministers, if you will, in that epoch: prophet, priest, and king. So the average Joe or Graham living in Israel, if they had any Grahams at the time, had no personal relationship with God. Let's say I was living, 1,000 years before Christ comes in Israel. So I'm part of God's chosen people, if you'll, but I've got no relationship. I'm praying to a God the other side of the barrier, the other side of the veil, literally. And I have no personal relationship with God. Even if I'm a covenant people, and as a collective identity, as a nation, we have a relationship with God, we had no personal interaction. God was not speaking to individuals there. So how would God speak to people? Obviously through his scriptures, if you will. But you literally, to this day, Jews, Israel, they talk about the law and the prophets. So to a Jewish person, we had the law, which was actually the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They call that the law. And then there were the prophets, those who God would send. Now again, just a quick distinction for our Gentile minds. Sometimes I divide the Bible and I think of the law and I think of history and I think of poetry, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs. I think of, the prophetic books, but Jews tend to just talk about the law and prophets. And what they actually do when they read the historical books like 1st and 2nd Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, they look at that as prophetic history. When they read Psalms and Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, they look at it like prophetic wisdom, prophetic poetry. So they put everything in that prophet realm there. But again, look at it this way. You're in Israel, there are prophet, priest, and king. Okay, and in a way, all of those people, they were servants of God. They were anointed by the Holy Spirit to fulfill a ministry for a people who had no relationship with God. So the job of the king was to bring God's leadership to the hoi polloi, the madding crowd, the normal, everyday Graham living in Israel. The job of the priest, Graham couldn't go into the Holy of Holies in the presence of the Lord and ask forgiveness for his sins. So the job of the priest, and then the high priest, would be to go in and cover, not redeem. Jesus didn't atone for our sins. He redeemed us from them. To atone means to cover. To redeem means to obliterate. So the king, if you will, would bring the authority, the rule and the reign of heaven and represent it on the earth. The priest would go on behalf of the people and ask for forgiveness for the sins. What would the prophet do? The prophet would hear, listen to me carefully, guys, the prophet would hear from God for the people. So if I were living in Israel before Christ, I couldn't hear from God for myself. So the prophet would hear a word of God for the nation and say, Lord, the Lord says, repent. I'm happy with you. I'm not so happy with you. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And they would be, if you will, the ears of the people. Zunk. Let's step into the new covenant. Again, it's really important we get this, because, and again, this will be a real key to you, because most people miss this. Most people, Jesus was prophet, priest, and king. Moses said, God will raise up another prophet like unto me. Literally, you know, Hebrews 1 says, God who spoke in diverse and sundry ways, different ways in the past, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he's made the heir of all things. So in a way, Jesus literally is the, he's the ultimate prophet, because he's the one who brings the word of God to us, because he is the word of God. So Jesus comes and he is that, the highest prophet, if you will. He's the high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. And he's the King of Kings. And Jesus fulfilled all of those things. I think sometimes what we try and do then in the after Pentecost understanding of the church is we try and say, well, there are prophets, but they're sort of different, and there are priests, but they're sort of different. And no, the church is in Christ Jesus. So, you know, in its fullest sense, I don't need a king. The king, we are now a nation of kings and priests, it says in Revelation 1:8 and 8:10, I believe it is. We're a nation of kings and priests. We're all kings and priests unto our God right now. So I don't need a king. I have direct access to the king. I don't need a priest to go before an intermediary between me and God. I have one, Jesus, the high priest. Yeah, I don't need somebody to intercede in that sense between me and God. Now, we intercede for other people. That's a priestly ministry we have. But we don't need somebody to go in between us and God. And then lastly, you know, at its most important level, I don't need a prophet. I don't need somebody to hear from God for me. We all are taught of the Lord. We all can hear God's voice. Now, Old Testament prophet, then he comes and he hears from God. And in a way, if it's a true prophet, you've got to obey. In the Old Testament, there was no grace for getting it wrong. You know, if a prophet prophesied it wasn't in line with scripture or it didn't come to pass, they would be killed. In the Old Testament, we tested the prophet. In the New Testament, we test the prophecy. It's a really important distinction. I'll come back to that in another lesson. In the Old Testament, we test the prophet. In the New Testament, we test the prophecy. That's why in the New Testament, it's possible that somebody can say something and their heart can be right, but they themselves can be wrong. In the Old Testament, Mike Bickle puts it this way. In the Old Testament, there was a high concentration of prophetic anointing in a very few people. In the New Testament, there's a large distribution, a 100% distribution of prophetic anointing, but across a wide range of people. So in the Old Testament, somebody would hear from God, and in a way, the issue was, are you going to obey? That's why you get scriptures that say, believe the prophets and you'll prosper. You had to believe the prophets. What is a New Testament prophet? Well, number one, are there still New Testament prophets? Yes, there are. Ephesians 4:11 says, Christ ascended on high and gave gifts to men, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and he's never taken them back. So prophet is one of those fivefold ministries in Ephesians 4:11. But what is the ministry of a prophet? The ministry of a prophet in the New Testament, again, if this presses a button in you, good. Be a Berean, get your Bible out, check it out. The ministry of a prophet in the New Testament is not to hear from God for the people primarily. The ministry of the prophet in the New Testament is to help the people hear from God. Let's say that again. So if I was, I don't think I'm primarily called to be a prophet, though I prophesy a lot, but let me say that. If I'm a prophet, just hypothetically, my main role and goal is not to come and tell you what the word of the Lord is, to hear from God for you, but rather to help you hear from God. So in a way, the job of all true ministry in the New Covenant is not to, it's not to make people dependent on us. It's not to be the go-between. Here's what God's saying, guys. Our job is not to go, if I'm traveling, let's say, is not to go into a church and say, guys, here's what God is saying to you. But rather to say, guys, let me help you hear what God is saying. Really important distinction. So do New Testament prophets hear from God for the people? Yes and amen. Absolutely. That's an important component of that, and we need that. But I think that primary role is to be one of teaching and training and equipping and helping people hear from God, rather than simply, because here's the danger. We don't want, Paul says to Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ. So the job of a pastor is not to be the person who meets everybody's needs, but rather to meet people's needs and help people come to Jesus and have their needs met. The job of a teacher is not to be the person you rely on 100%, but rather to help you grow and mature in the word so that you can receive, you become a self-feeder, and you go and teach others. So in the, can we prophets get it wrong in the New Testament? Yes, I think prophets can get it wrong in the New Testament. It doesn't mean necessarily the false prophet. There can be. I think a false prophet has much more to do with the heart than the accuracy of a word. So, hey, if you're looking for some great resources, there's much out there these days. I think Graham Cook wrote some great books, both back in the 80s in the UK, and I know he's republished some in the US recently about the prophetic, about the responsibility, about how the prophetic fits into the role of a local church. Mike Bickle did the same thing in the 1980s. Suddenly the Lord started sending all of these, some of them have gone home to be with the Lord now, but these high-level, incredibly accurate prophets into Mike Bickle's church in Kansas City. And at the time, Mike Bickle was, I want to say he's in his early 30s, if I'm wrong, that's a genuine mistake, don't stone me. And my point is, Mike Bickle's a young pastor with a load of young people, and suddenly there's all these amazing prophets who are twice or three times his age, you know, hearing incredible words from God, and it's like they'd all been sent there. And Mike Bickle did a really great job, inspired by the Lord, I believe, of praying through, studying through, and figuring out. He wrote a book called Growing in the Prophetic, which talks about this. But how do those things fit together? How do we have prophets that are not just floating guys in the tents in the old days or on the internet in these days, but how do we integrate that into normal church life? How do we let in inform church life, but not also take things over as well? So I think that's a challenge for the church. It's still one that's going on today. So New Testament prophet, yeah, hear from God, absolutely, but more importantly, help other people hear from God. That's a really big thing. Hey, two quick things here as well. There's the gift of prophecy, which I would say biblically is different from the ministry of a prophet. At the end of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul asks a question, and he says, are all apostles, is everybody an apostle? And obviously his point is no, not everybody is an apostle. And then he says, is everybody a prophet? And his implication is no, not everybody's a prophet. And yet, turn one page in your Bible and Paul says, I want you all to prophesy. Then he says, you can all prophesy one by one. And I think the distinction Paul's making there is some people are called to be a prophet and not everybody is. But everybody can move in the gift of prophecy. So one is a calling, a vocation, we might use the word, literally you are the gift to the person. And that's a lifelong gift and calling and ministry that God will put a man or a woman in to the church. The other is a momentary, John Wimber used to talk about not bracelets, but gracelets, like God coming in the moment and putting a grace on you and giving you a word to release. So I would say in the body of Christ, everybody can learn to move in the gift of prophecy. Now, again, I can teach on this at other times. I'm trying to give you an overview today. So five levels, did I say? Bible prophecy. There are Old Testament prophets who didn't inspire scripture. There are Old Testament prophets, New Testament prophets. Let's go over this again. There are Bible prophets who wrote scripture. There are prophets who didn't write scripture, but, you know, they're in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Agabus was a recognized New Testament prophet. He prophesied the famine in Israel. He prophesied to Paul in Acts 20. And yet he didn't write one word of scripture that we have. And yet the scripture we have declares him to be a prophet recognized by the brethren. Yeah. People like, you know, you read things like in Samuel, there was the school of prophets in the days of Samuel, I should say. Elijah had a school of prophets, lots of young prophets, and they prophesy, and their words were true words. When Elisha's going with Elijah, and Elijah's going to be taken to heaven, all these young prophets come and tell him, oh, God's going to take your master to heaven. They're prophesying, but it wasn't scripture. See the difference? So if I came to you today and said, hey, God shows me tomorrow you're going to lose your job, but don't worry, says the Lord, he's got a better one for you that you're going to get next month. That could be a true word of prophecy, but it doesn't mean it's part of scripture. So Old Testament prophets that are part of scripture, prophets that aren't scripture writing prophets, Old Testament, New Testament, there is the gift of prophecy. Let me finish with this. I'm done, guys. Lastly, there's just what I call the prophetic. And by that, I mean, God wants us to be a people who are always hearing from him. And I think if we overthink this and we go, was that a gift of prophecy or was it not a gift of prophecy? I want to hear from God all the time. I want to be walking and talking. And that's my experience, that prophetic people, which should be all of us. But by that, I mean, people who walk in a place of hearing from God, they're always hearing and seeing things. And it doesn't necessarily mean they need to say everything they see. I'll quite often see something, and my usual reaction is go to the Lord and say, do you want me to say something? Do you want me to pray something? Do you want me to give something? Sometimes the Lord will just say, that. You don't need to do anything with that, but you see it. 1 Corinthians 2, 15 says, he that is spiritual. And again, the word spiritual it's talking about being in the spirit, but it's actually talking about mature. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about the carnal Christian and the spiritual, the mature Christian. And Paul says, 1 Corinthians 2:15, he that is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is rightly discerned of no man. The point is, I believe there's a life God has for us there, whereas we wander through, we are discerning what God is doing, we're seeing what God is doing, we're aware of that, we're like the sons of Isaac. But it doesn't necessarily mean we've got to say things and jump in. And, you know, I will often go into a church and discern what's going on there. Man, this is a praying church, or this church has problems, or there's things going on here, or whatever. But it doesn't mean I necessarily have an invitation until one's given to do something about what I see there. So always praying and coming back to God for wisdom, which I'm going to talk about next week, and we're going to talk about processing the prophetic. Boom. That was a long one. Well, let me finish there. Some thoughts on prophets and prophecy. So let's be that prophetic generation, that prophetic people. Thanks for watching. If you made it this far, guys, again, whack that, give that subscribe button a whack. Share this video if you will. It would really help me get God's word out to people. And check out the links below. Hope to see you guys soon in the plan of God. Bye for now.